welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another OC Spotlight. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the most incredible people doing the most amazing things right here in your own backyard. And today, if you're a guy of a certain age, you're going to get a kick, all pun intended, you're going to get a kick out of this one, because we're talking mixed martial arts with a master himself here. We've got the guy in the room, Corey Williams from Williams MMA. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
So I got to tell you, I'm a man of a certain age here. When I was growing up, it was boxing. And then mixed martial arts hit the world, and it's never been the same. When did mixed martial arts debut? When did we start seeing mixed martial arts fights? Was it just roughly 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago?
How long? I'd say we're pushing like closer to 25.
Okay.
Timeline might be wrong on that. I'm not a expert on the history.
Not a historian here, but we won't hold you to it.
The UFC is really
what brought
it to light.
Maybe not totally, but I think it's replaced or supplanted, or maybe in addition to young guys and women, I suppose, too. But is it mostly guys? I would think it's mostly men, but mistaken.
So I think that in the competition world, it has been male-dominated for a long time. But as time goes on, there are more and more opportunities for women mm-hmm. who want to thrive and grow in the sport. My school's about 30% women.
There you go.
My kids' class is more around 50. I think self-defense is a very important thing for women to get into.
That makes
sense. There's ways of going about that. You can do a traditional self-defense class where you get fundamentals and basics. But the truth is, if you really want to be able to protect yourself, you have to train and you have to continue training and learn all the facets, because fighting and self-defense, it's full of chaos and infinite variables, and mm-hmm. you got to get used to being in there. I think certain schools are more welcoming to women than others, mm-hmm. but you really, if you want to get out there and train, no matter who you are, there is a school that you can find.
There's always been martial arts and mm-hmm. the idea of karate or judo, or in your case, jiu-jitsu. We're going to talk about all those different forms of martial arts. But this idea that competitors in an octagonal ring here?
If you're going to compete in MMA, traditionally, nowadays, it is an octagon, a cage, right?
Not a square, but it's an octagon to set it apart. And it's in a cage, which made it even seem more dangerous. We're going to lock you in a cage with some other person who's going to try and knock you out or kick some sense into you here.
Mm-hmm.
And is, oh my God, it's boxing seems polite. And because boxing, if they get together in a clinch, they break them apart. And you're just using your fists, and as powerful as that can be. These guys are kicking you. They're grappling with you. They're getting on the ground. They're doing all sorts of things.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
So as somebody who's done a mixed martial arts for a very long time, I would be way more nervous being stuck in a cage with a high-level boxer fighting with boxing rules mm-hmm. because that's not my world.
Yeah.
The complexity of boxing and the timing and the skill set you have with the limitations, they are no joke. Like, their hands are to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
But when you add more abilities to any stylized fighting, you can exploit their stance or the tools that they haven't trained.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why mixed martial arts blew up when the UFC came out, because you'd have these high-level strikers that could knock you out with one punch. But somebody comes in and drops down, grabs your ankle, all of a sudden you're sitting on your butt, and the person's on top of you choking you.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's it. You know, it is this unique blend of all these different martial arts. It could be a traditional boxer, or it could be a traditional wrestler, or it could be somebody who comes from any one of these other martial arts background. And there have got to be, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these? Maybe there's a lot more than that. I can think of judo and karate and jiu-jitsu and a handful of others.
Yeah, you're naming a lot of the top dogs. Muay Thai is a huge
Muay
influence.
Thai, the mm-hmm. kickboxing, the Thai kickboxing.
Back in the day when UFC was new, you definitely saw a lot of those. I come from jiu-jitsu, and I come from boxing, and very stylized fighters coming together. Nowadays, most of the time to thrive, you have to be able to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
That one-sidedness doesn't show as much. And sure, there's people who excel at one aspect of fighting more than another. But to be a true mixed martial artist and to not be easily exploited, mm-hmm. you got to train everything. So you definitely see a lot more of that modern blend.
So at your gym, are you teaching young kids just how to defend themselves or how to participate in the sport? Or are you actually training people who may want to go out and do this professionally?
Okay. So I like to sell my school is as being unique in the sense that we fall in the middle of a lot of different style of schools out there.
Okay.
On one side, there are very arts-focused martial arts schools that do a lot of technique or acrobatics, choreography, mm-hmm. great for your health and fitness, breaking boards, high jumping, leaping kicks.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't focus so much on the fighting, or when they do sparring, it's more of sports sparring where you're playing tag and mm-hmm. landing points and breaking and that kind of thing. A fight school where you show up there, you're going to get your bottom whooped mm-hmm. and thrown around, and you're aspiring to go and compete at a high level. Mm-hmm. For my school, we do a ton of sparring. We do a lot of contact, but we are not pushing people into competition, and we're not just leaning towards the choreography, more art side of things. Mm-hmm. We're a place where anybody can come in and learn and focus on what they want, whether they want to be just somebody comes in and gets a great sweat and mm-hmm. works out and enjoys themselves.
Or self-protection or just to feel good and self-confidence. I'm not going to get beat up by the bully and all that stuff here. Of course, so much of this, there's so much of this in the news or in the media. I remember the Karate Kid when it came out and the waves that made. And then Bruce Lee and the wave that he made and the Hong Kong and Jackie Chan and all that stuff that just brought it to American shores. And we watched all this very almost incredible stylized. It was like a dance. So they're running up the side of buildings. I don't know how much of that they can really do, but it was way over the top and very imaginative and very interesting and very choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say they weren't incredible. Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee and all these guys, they just popularized this whole thing. And then I laugh because a whole new world saw this when the Power Rangers hit our shores here. This
right.
Japanese cartoon. That's when you first saw it. You're like seven and you're watching them do their martial arts and protect the world and everything here.
Oh, yeah. So me being a seven-year-old kid, I was watching the very first generation of Power Rangers, and I was into it. So I asked my mom to sign me up for karate because karate is the word that I knew for martial arts.
Right.
And she put me in a Kempo school, which is one of the branches of karate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I fell in love with things. That's where I met my instructor, who became my mentor and lifelong friend,
mm-hmm.
and it was just went on from there.
And so I'm relating to this because I'm in my 60s here. So I saw the first kind of wave when it hit the shores. When I was a kid, nobody knew about martial arts vaguely. And then it became Bruce Lee, and then the Karate Kid, and it peaked. And then all of a sudden, mixed martial arts. We're going to mix all these people together. It's not just a karate competition or Muay Thai,
mm-hmm.
kickboxing thing. Those all had their own tournaments and their own things. Now we're going to throw everybody in a ring and we're going to see who's the best or what skills can match other things. It's like rock, this is a strange analogy, rock, scissor, papers. Mm-hmm. Rock, scissors, paper. All three of those can hurt. You can get a paper cut, you can get smothered by the paper, the rock's going to hit you, the scissors going to cut. But each of those can defeat the other. There's
Absolutely.
One that can defeat always. So depending on which one you throw down, the paper covers the rock, or the scissors cuts the paper, and you go, I threw the wrong move. So I would think mixed martial arts gets very confusing and very complex because, as you say, it's not just who can kick the highest or kick the hardest or hit the hardest. Or
True. Yeah, technique and intelligence in fighting goes a long way. And then also, me not running a school that's focused purely on competition, we also try to focus on things that work for a smaller person on a bigger person, so you can actually protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Our approach is to start with classes that focus more on stand-up fighting or ground fighting or jiu-jitsu,
mm-hmm.
so that way people can get their foundation if they're newer. Blending it all together off the bat is super complicated, mm-hmm. like you said, and goes over new students' heads. But as they get their foundation and develop, then they're able to actually blend it together and put the whole game.
So I got to throw three personal stories in here real quickly. So my son-in-law, who's in his 30s, young Hispanic guy, runs a bank, loved boxing for many years. Many Hispanics love boxing, grew up watching boxing and some of the great Mexican boxing fighters and stuff here. Then discovered mixed martial arts. He and his buddies go nuts. They get the pay-per-views, they watch the whole thing. And I've watched it with him a couple of times. And to me, it seems, I'm going to caricature this. It's either over in 2 seconds because somebody gets knocked out, or they're grappling on the ground and they're pushing and they're stuck. And I'm like, break it up. Let's start over. No, they got to work it out and everything. And I don't see anything happening. They're just grunting and groaning and trying to get position on each other. Is that a fair assessment? It can be lightning quick, or it can be there's a lot going on that you don't really grasp what's happening as they're grappling, trying to get advantage over each other here.
Yeah, a big thing to remember when you're watching any kind of fighting or being involved in any kind of fighting is that it could end at any second.
Yeah.
Anybody can land a skillful, like precise shot. Anybody can land a lucky shot. Mm-hmm. Striking and kicking is it can be well trained and super technical, but it's also chaos. And every time you get in range of somebody else and start swinging, you can be caught. There's so many things happening at once. But the cage work is what you're referring to. When one person pushes the other person on the wall, locks them down, that has a ton of nuance and skill behind it. Where your head is positioned, how you're wrapping the arm to control the shoulders. It's this really intense dance that is meant to either drag somebody to the ground to continue the fight and hit them or try to choke them, or to exhaust them. Because if you haven't experienced it yourself, I highly recommend it. If you get somebody smashing you against the wall that knows what they're doing, trying to get off that wall or off that cage is exhausting.
Yeah, I can imagine. Shout out to my son-in-law, Omar, if he's listening today here. He loves mixed martial arts. And of course, his son, or his oldest son, who's 10, watched, what's the Cobra Kai series, the remake, the rebirth of the Karate Kid from all those years ago, came back. And what a huge series that was. And he made me watch all these things. And now he just loves, just like the kids imitating the Power Rangers, he loves to do all these moves and, you know, thinks he's going to be a stuntman or something here. He's just trying to do all this stuff. It just seems to be intoxicating. And I've seen mostly young men and young boys doing it, but you're saying young girls are, because the Power Rangers are girls and stuff too. There's Power Ranger girls. There's more and more girls that love to kick butt here.
Absolutely. Yeah, women
well
want to feel
protecting yourself.
Yeah, women want to feel confident. And honestly, if you watch the female fighters going against each
what's
other,
her name, there's Rousey or something.
Ronda Rousey.
Rousey. Yeah.
Yeah. Rousey was a big deal when she was in the UFC. She definitely came in at a higher level
because she was a boxer and then brought.
So she was a judo champion, Olympic judo champion.
Okay.
So the big thing with the women's divisions, because there wasn't a lot of opportunity to compete. They didn't get to thrive like the men's competition did. Mm-hmm. So the earlier female high-level competitors were not as skillful as the men at the time just because they didn't get the chance to compete at that level. Mm-hmm. So when this Olympic judo champion comes into play, she started demolishing everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think this led to other high-level fighters in different styles of fighting come in and bring their awesomeness to that, because Ronda Rousey was on top before. But she was really a one-dimensional. She could throw punches, but she wasn't a high-level striker. But she was really good at wrapping somebody up, slamming them on the mat, and then breaking their arm. Later on, Holly Holmes comes in, who's this high-level boxer, and she knows how to strike, she knows how to kick, and she knew how to keep out of that rap with Ronda Rousey, and she eventually kicked her in the face, and she took the title. And then as time went on, more and more women had that opportunity for that high-level competition. And now you look at these female fighters, and they're incredible.
And it's so diverse, because I'll think of the ones that my son-in-law is introducing to. I'm Irish, so there was an Irish guy that was hot for a while,
Conor
McGregor.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere, and then he faded or something. And I don't know what his downfall was. He got too old or whatever.
There's theories. Sometimes success can defeat you. So if you're a multimillionaire with sponsorships and your own proper 12 Irish whiskey repping.
Oh, yes, lad.
Right. Then maybe it's harder for you to show up and put your mind and body through that horrible training and camp. Maybe the game just evolved. Because sometimes when you're a high-level mixed martial artist, the younger generation will come and surpass you because they have been able to see further just by standing on your shoulders. Nobody can be on top forever, maybe except like George St. Pierre, who retired as the Golden Boy. He was a huge, successful mixed martial artist.
So it's not all Asians. Somehow you would think this is an Asian. Martial arts were historically an Asian technique. And forgive me, I hope I don't say this wrong, but Asians tend to be smaller. And therefore, it was a way to take on bigger guys, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is that an overstatement? I hope I'm not offending anybody, but that was what I was read was the gist of particularly things like judo and some other things.
Well, I got an interesting take on that. So I'll start first by saying that martial arts has been in every like country and development, like Asia and America, anywhere, Europe. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times boxing was boxing, but it wasn't referred to as a martial art. But of course, in my opinion, it is. Greco-Roman wrestling, in my opinion, is a martial art.
There you go.
It's a way of training your body to control and dominate another person and protect yourself. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of Asian communities with karate and kung fu and tai chi and all these other type of martial arts,
right. They
were designed and they felt different because they were catered to a specific body type. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those martial arts, there's a lot more jumping and spinning and flashy kicks, mm-hmm. which again, depending on your frame, you can do better than other people. I am short and very stocky. I'm close to 200 pounds. I'm 5'7". I probably don't look it. I can't leap very high in the air, and I'm not successful doing a lot of the fancy stuff.
I'm 6'4". I can take here. No, I wouldn't even try here.
but what's great about mixed martial arts, you incorporate all these different like styles.
Yeah.
And for the person who is able to do a flying spinning kick, they can excel in doing that. And when I meet a person, I give them their foundation. I try to train them to know the basics and be able to move.
And you try and adapt there, for their particular style. If you're short or you're tall or you're fast or you're slow.
Absolutely.
Whatever, you're going to say, how about you do a little of this?
So now, for a gentleman who's 6'4", for instance,
yeah.
You are going to want to keep the shorter guys away from you.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to move
arms length
back around at arm's length where you can do damage.
Right.
And that shorter person needs to close the distance, move their head out of the way, and get in reach of you where it's awkward for you to strike them. And that short person can control.
So I guess I'm beginning to understand the beauty of this, the complexity of this, and the addiction of this. It has blown up. And I don't know that it's replaced boxing. Boxing is still huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say we've interviewed a couple of promoters through the years, and all of them have moved into mixed martial arts. If they don't just do boxing anymore. And I think most of the martial art exhibit, I don't know, are there still people like Chuck Norris or Jean-Claude Van Damme and all these other people that just excel at one particular type and go up and run through the tournament? So there must be that world still. Or are they all trying to match themselves against other?
No, there's still judo and the Olympics. There's point karate tournaments out there. Mm-hmm. There's great Brazilian jiu-jitsu athletes that go all over the world and compete for medals. All those like niche competitions exist. I think that UFC and then ONE Champion, all the other organizations that have brought mixed martial arts out, they just are the ones on billboards, are the ones you pay $80 to pay-per-view for.
Yeah.
But everything's out there still, and it's still great competition and high-level stuff.
So I'm going to put you on the spot as I did before,
sure.
And I already know the answer, I think. Then my son-in-law wants to get around, and he wants to say, oh, this is the best sport. It's karate, or it's kickboxing, or it's jujitsu, or it's something. Everybody thinks that's the one that's going to have an advantage. And you're like, there is no advantage, because it's just a set of skills. And if I know how to counter those set of skills, like the rock, paper, scissors analogy, mm-hmm. there is a counter move. There is a counter thing for all those things. If you're a fast striker, then I'm going to get you in the ground. If you're tall, you're going to box and keep them at length or something, or whatever it is, you're going to find your body type and your skill set, and then it's a question of adapting to all these other things, because the greatest hitter in the world can get taken down and knocked out and choked out or whatever, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it's a long time question is what's the best mixed martial arts? Best martial arts for mixed martial arts.
And I see it on debate on YouTube and stuff. When preparing for this, I looked and, oh, this one's the best. No, this one's the best. Oh, you got to have this one and everything. These are the skills. And I thought, I don't know. Has there been one that's been dominant? Or if you look through the recent history of champions, you said one was judo, one was karate, one was a boxer. Maybe they're all different skills have found success here?
Absolutely. And I think that sometimes you'll watch a UFC fight and there'll be two people that are just throwing hands, and it's almost like a boxing match, mm-hmm. where they're just trying to knock each other out, and they like their hands and they're good at their hands, and that's what they use. And a high level wrestler can come in, and if they know how to get that person to the ground, that wrestling will beat them. And if that striker can keep them from wrapping them up and putting them on the cage, then they will be able to knock them out. I think that as we have progressed, we see clearly wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, boxing, those elements have had tons of success as the background for people. Not to say that Lyoto Machida, who is a great karate fighter, can't apply those skills. But you'll notice that nobody really just leans on one thing. Not these days.
They got to have it's got to be mixed. They got to have a variety of things. So do you teach, you specialize in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. First of all, tell us what jiu-jitsu is and what is Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay. So there's basically two programs at my school. People come in, they can come to mixed martial arts classes, which will focus on either stand-up fighting or the blend of everything.
Right.
Other classes are BJJ, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu simply refers to a way of controlling somebody. It includes a lot of submissions, chokes, bending the arm the wrong way.
Right.
It originated in Japan. Eventually, it made its way to Brazil and then to the United States, where it became very popular.
And the Brazilians had a whole different take on it, or added something, another element to it.
I think that certain demographics take something and it blows up in their community, like an Irish boxer. Like in that community, it became a very big way for people to express themselves and also to get out of poverty.
A lot of Irish people. Going back to Jack Dempsey and O'Sullivan at the turn of the century, the 1900s. Yeah, there were a lot of Irish boxers because that was their way out.
So I think in Brazil, there are a lot of great competitors that came out. And when it came to the States, it was the Brazilians that were using jiu-jitsu effectively in a mixed martial arts setting, like Royce Gracie. So from there, that term blew up. But in reality, fighting on the ground, controlling somebody, leverages, there's only so many things you can do to the human body. So yeah, it grows and evolves, understanding continues. But I can't say the Brazilians did this to the Japanese martial arts and made it this. They just took it and thrived. And that's what got popularized.
And how does some, what's this other one I see all over the place? Krav Maga or something? The Israeli
Krav Maga.
Krav Maga, the Israeli self-defense force came up with their own hybrid fighting system or something here.
Yeah, Krav Maga is very much a finish the fight as soon as possible. That one can lean very much into the self-defense kind of things. With Krav Maga schools, I've met people who've done Krav Maga who are legit martial artists. I've also met people, and this has happened with a lot of martial arts, that can't really defend themselves. I will warn anybody out there shopping around for a specific school, whether that be Krav
Maga. Don't send the challenges to me, folks. Send it to him.
or karate or taekwondo, hapkido.
Yeah,
you
right.
can shop around. You'll find schools where they don't really practice a level of sparring or a level of interaction that trains you for actual self-defense. And you go to other ones, and they're tough schools with tough people. You really got to shop around and do your research.
Depending
to
on
see.
What you're looking for. Yeah.
And it depends what you're looking for. Maybe you're not worried about being able to fight, but you want that bag work and feeling healthy.
As the great Mike Tyson said so famously, it's been quoted so often, everybody has a plan until you get smashed in the face, and then your plan goes out the window here.
Absolutely.
And he was a street fighter before he was a professional boxer. So he brought a not just a ferociousness to it, but a gut-level skill. It wasn't all just footwork and moves. He had, I don't know what else he brought. I don't know why Mike Tyson was such a great boxer. I don't know enough about boxing, but I know he was brutal.
It was timing and spacing.
Timing and spacing.
Timing and spacing is the key to stand-up fighting, in my opinion. There's also precision, but Mike Tyson was a short heavyweight. He's not a short person, but for that division, he was usually under whoever he was fighting.
And didn't he, the first record was like he got a whole 20 knockouts or a dozen knockouts. He got a whole bunch.
It's insane.
And he
would move his head out of the way. So you try to hit him. He would literally march towards you, moving his head side to side. You'd hit a bunch of air, and then he'd come over top with a lot of strength, but mostly a lot of technique and put people out.
Wow.
He knew where to be, how to get there, and then land.
Wow. All right. Wide variety of martial arts within mixed martial arts. A lot of different styles. How can you, is it better to be a master at one, or is it better to be a mixture of all?
I won't say all martial arts per se, because not necessarily everything will apply in a self-defense setting, and not everything will apply to your body type. But I think having a foundation where you know how to move your feet, throw strikes and kicks, defend takedowns, put people on the floor, and then, of course, once you're there, how to move and control and get away. It's a little bit of everything that currently works. See, that's the complicated part. So You know, what I got,
just want a simple answer.
It's complicated. And you can't list a simple answer. And I think as humans, we want to label and list. But in reality, fighting is fighting. It's punching and kicking and control.
Anything to win and anything to counteract what they're throwing at you, because it could be anything, including a lucky out of the blue haymaker or something.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Street fighting and swinging your arm while it's somebody's head will work if you land that shot. See, when I was coming up, I did Kempo Karate. That was what I started with when I was seven. Mm-hmm. And as time went on and as jiu-jitsu became the thing that was dominating fighting, we brought in jiu-jitsu and we incorporated that into our style. And when I got my black belt in my early 20s, it was in a system called Kempo Jiu-Jitsu, mm-hmm. which essentially was a mixed martial arts. And through that, we evolved and we added. And I won't say, oh, now we do Muay Thai, now we do Judo. That's not how it works. We take things and we train things, we learn things, and we add it to our arsenal. So that way, we're just a more equipped, more understanding human.
And isn't that kind of, I know Bruce Lee didn't do wrestling and other sorts of things, but he was a very he had his own style, from what I've read. He took a lot of different elements and incorporated into a unique approach. Or am I overstating that?
No, Bruce Lee, his system was Jeet Kune Do. But the logic of that was not really having a style. It was freestyle. It was adapting and doing what works. And that approach makes perfect sense to me. You, of course, you have to have a foundation. You have to know how to move and kick and keep your balance. Right. But then from there, it has to be adaptive, because we're all, especially in the United States, there's so many different humans with so many different sizes and strengths and backgrounds.
Yeah.
We have to adapt and figure out what works. And Bruce Lee understood that. He broke from the traditional martial arts, which oftentimes back in the day would be, this is how it is.
Right.
This is how we do it. This is the tradition. And instead, take that knowledge and apply it in a way that works for you on whoever.
Thank you for this lesson in mixed martial arts and martial arts in general. It sounds like you're well-versed in all this stuff. You've opened your school where? In Fountain Valley? You've been doing this now for a few years there?
Yes. We're actually just moved to a bigger location in May of last year.
That's always a good sign.
So we're at our one-year anniversary. But I've been in Fountain Valley under Williams MMA since 2016, so about 8 years now. But then before that, I was partnered up with Robert Spencer, my lifelong coach and friend. We were business partners for a while, and then before that, it was the name was the Academy of Martial Arts, which was not good for marketing. It was a little general, but that school has been essentially the second generation of a school that's existed since 1996.
Wow. Yeah. And people can go there, and all age ranges and all different...
Almost. 4 years old and up.
Okay.
Yeah, the three-year-olds, I actually have one three-year-old student. Oh, she's super sharp, but usually around four is when they have the personality.
I was thinking like eight or something, four. So what can you teach a kid at four or five? Are they more flexible and adaptive and eager to learn, like they can learn so much at four or five or six and later on they're set in their ways?
It's foundation. So if a parent comes to me for their kid to do a martial arts class and they're 4 years old, I'm going to tell them they're going to learn how to be a better listener, how to control their body better, and have a foundation so that when they progress physically and mentally, they will be able to do more than somebody who didn't train as early. Mm-hmm. So really, my expectations for all my age groups, and we have a lot of different age groups split up for my classes, all the way from minis, which is 4 to 6, to my teen class, to my adult class, I create realistic expectations for their abilities and feed them the knowledge that they can use so that when they get to the next stage, they're that much of a better person martial
and
artist.
So many parents I know have said, I'd be terrified to send my grandson there. I think my daughter's a little bit the same way. My son-in-law, though, would love to see him do this, partly so you can defend yourself. Everybody wants to, particularly men, we want to feel like we need to defend ourselves should we have to. But I hear so many people say it gives you confidence, it gives you clarity, it gives you... What other things does it give you? It has a certain spiritual dimension to it almost. At least that's what traditional martial arts does.
So for me, I'll use myself as an example. When I was 16 years old, I was kicked out of my house and I was living on my own. Mm-hmm. And martial arts kept me out of trouble. I graduated high school. I went to junior college. I used it to feed myself and as a job. Mm-hmm. And I think it kept me grounded in a way that my frustration, especially as like a young man coming up, I had a positive outlet. I would fight and grind. I wasn't trying to hurt people, but I was getting that energy out.
Right.
It gave me discipline where I had to push myself and choose to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. and deal with that discomfort and become better for it. And it overall helped with my health and made me stronger and more stable.
So it's an exercise regimen, but it's a mental exercise regimen too. And it adds not just confidence, but you feel, you see yourself accomplishing something. Your success, you're pushing yourself past your boundaries, what your limits. What
so much of it's mental. Well, think about it. Like most people, again, if you're somebody who's been in a fight or attacked or dealt with violence, we enter trauma responses. We disassociate, we freeze, we hide, we look away.
I'd run away.
We run away. Hopefully, it's always the best option right. when you're dealing with violence. You can just get away from it.
Right.
But martial arts forces you to have to face those things and react in a unnatural way. Look forward, keep your eyes open, keep your hands up, breathe, and then deal with it.
I know so many successful entrepreneurs who come on this show off camera, they tell me many of them practice some sort of martial arts. I'm thinking of a show host we had for years, Rick Gerard, who does, he's an HR in the tech world and does all sorts of other things now. He loved jujitsu. He loved mm-hmm. grinding on the ground. And he would come in and bruised up and banged up. And I said, why are you doing this? He said, I can't explain it. It's not just a release. It's something about the challenge and the working through these things and pushing yourself past the point of comfort.
So
he loves it. Yeah.
We do rank for my school and we use the Kempo belt system that I came up with, which is eventually for Kempo Jiu-Jitsu. Right. So that way kids and adults can see and feel their progress.
Monitor the progress.
Exactly.
And so, have some pride points along the way. Hey, I made this. I want to do this.
Great for kids. Great for adults to be acknowledged of how far they've come. And at the end of any belt test that we do, we have students take their rank and they wipe their belt on their forehead, which is a super old tradition of martial arts.
I've seen people do that, yeah.
It represents two things.
Hold it up. Right.
It represents that hard work you put into achieving that rank, the blood, the sweat, the time, the showing up and being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then it also
literally
represents
blood and sweat and time.
Absolutely.
A lot of all three. Yeah.
Then the second thing, it represents your commitment to continuing to better yourself. Jiu-jitsu or boxing, whatever it is, you're showing up somewhere. You're making yourself uncomfortable, and you're doing it to get better at something. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us need that, whether it's martial arts, whether it's through music, whether mm-hmm. it's through any kind of hobby where
I
you
agree.
Can show up. Otherwise, we end up stagnant. And when we're stagnant, we're unhappy, and we're anxious, and we're stuck.
And quitting. So many young kids quit so easily. I didn't get to be the star right away. Oh, I didn't make the, or get to work. I'm not the president next week here. I'm just going to find another job. That tenacity, I won't say that's missing, but that was a hallmark when I grew up. You stuck with it and you worked through it. That seems to be one of the gifts this gives you as well here.
Yeah, I work with a lot of parents, and I think a lot of them struggle with giving their kids a realistic amount of autonomy so they feel like their own people, mm-hmm. but then also not letting them make bad decisions that a kid might do.
Yeah.
So my recommendation for parents is if you want to put your kid in martial arts or football or baseball, they have to go the whole season. They have to go for 3 or 6 months and get past that initial, I'm terrible at this.
Yes.
I started guitar when I was 18 and it wasn't fun for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the most consistent because making horrible noises over and over again isn't the most motivating thing.
Oh.
But we have to get past those hurdles.
Right.
And there's so many kids that I have who are not immediately athletic, who are going through a growth spurt, and they're 13, and their feet are too long for their bodies, and they're awkward, and they feel clearly uncomfortable. A lot of tall people, right before they hit spurt.
I was geeky and gangly and all that.
It takes time to learn your body. And if that kid is able to make their own decision all on their own, they might want to start, they'll feel strange, they'll want to quit. But if they just push through that hump and get to that point where they don't fall over when they throw a kick, they will be like, oh, I can do this. And I think that bleeds into a lot of things, that if you do it for long enough,
I think so,
you can be something. Maybe not the best,
right?
Maybe not the greatest, but capable.
It's a life lesson. All right, if people want to get this life lesson, so it can be that. It can be physical training and sweating. It can be mental strengthening and toughening. It can be confidence building. It can be self-protection. And maybe, if you're really good at it, maybe you can go further like you did and make this a career. All of those are possible in the paths that you offer here. How do they find you?
Okay. So my website is Williams, with an S, right? WilliamsMMA.com. I'm also on Instagram, Williams_MMA. From there, you can come in. We always offer a free class to new students.
There you go.
In reality, we're in Orange County. There are a million martial arts schools
sure
out there.
Right.
So you have to go and find the one that's near you with instruction that you like and that you can afford. So reach out to me and we'll get you into a class and you can see what we have to offer, because all the talking I can do really can't show you
and how
what
would
we have
you,
until you're there.
One last question. How would you tell parents to find a school? Is it just the close one? Is it just the one that can afford? Or is it, they all have different approaches. Some
yeah.
of them must be tougher. Some of them must be more artistic. Some of them, I don't know. Is it, what is it about your school that sets you apart? You mentioned this before, and I just want to give you a shot to put that in.
Absolutely.
There.
So we are a school where your kid can come, train, learn how to actually defend themselves, how to fight, though we don't encourage like getting in fights, of course.
Right.
Learn how to protect themselves, but not get broken. Because we don't let the kids like bash on each other and hurt each other. A lot of like high level martial artists, right, and competitors don't do hard sparring all the time because it's not super good for your brain and body.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take those kids and we'll find a way to make them successful. And again, almost all kids that come and try my class, they end up usually staying. Our retention is very high. Mm-hmm. And that's because me and my staff, we know how to talk to kids. So if you're a parent, go to a school, watch a class, see
go.
If that person running the class knows how to talk to children, knows how to push them and make them successful without being so hard on them. They hate the class
right.
and so easy on them. They just mess around and spin in circles the whole time. You have to go and observe and see if you think your kid is responding and getting something out of this.
There you go. All right. So how do they find you again? Where are you located in Fountain Valley?
Give us- so we're in Fountain Valley. We're right off the 405 freeway
okay.
and Magnolia. You can find us at WilliamsMMA.com. We're also on Instagram at Williams_MMA.
We gave you a few extra minutes because this is a fascinating topic to me. From somebody who did not grow up understanding or seeing any of this to then later on when I was a teen and a young man seeing it explode on the American scene from overseas, from everything from Kung Fu to all the other, the Karate Kid and Bruce Lee and all that kind of stuff, and then see how it's gone to a whole nother level. I know so many parents send their kids to martial arts for so many different reasons, and they all come away saying it made them better. And success is defined differently for different kids. Maybe they just need confidence. Maybe they do want to compete. Maybe they just want to prove that they can do something they didn't think they could, whatever. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I wish I'd had the opportunity when I was young. I'm too old, though, now, right? I can't do it now. 65, 67, whatever.
It depends on your expectation.
I'm going to get kicked a lot.
I have a student in their 70s, and they come in, and they train around their injuries,
right.
and they punch, and they kick, and they do what their body allows, and at the level that's safe. So if you want to come in, and you're able to move around safely, and you want to work out, I don't care what your age is, as long as you're willing to...
Put me against the four-year-olds. I can handle them, maybe.
Pretty fun to fight.
I can handle my four-year-old grandson. He wants to fight with me. I have a four-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they both want to beat me up all the time here. I go home... bruised all the
oh,
time.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, thank you so much. What a fascinating topic. And is there a phone number or anything else one last time?
Sure. You can reach out at 714-661-4439. Give me a call, shoot me a text, and I'll be happy to help you guys out.
Come check it out, nothing else. We'll see if it's for you and see if it's for your kid. I think it's an amazing thing you're offering, and I like this fact that you're offering lots of different styles and lots of different direction, lots of different paths. It's not just all about mastering one style and following one progression to get to a giant tournament or whatever here. You're offering people lots of different ways and purposes for doing this. I think it's fantastic. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. We have today Williams, M.A. Would we call it an academy? It's not an academy. It's a studio. It's a
You can call it an academy. You can call it a dojo. You can call it a school. You can call it a gym. All it is a place for people to come together, work hard, and better themselves.
Just make sure you call them. All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I could have gone on forever here. What a fascinating topic and an interesting young man that's got a very successful business that continues to grow right here in our own backyard. One of the many people we feature here on the OC Spotlight, right here on OC's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.